Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tara Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is from the section called Breakfast Pastimes. For those of you who are not conversant, this Govinda Lilamrita is subtitled by me as A Day in the Life of Radha Krishna. This Govinda Lilamrita is written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today's section is called Yashoda Treats Radharani as Her Daughter. Srimati Radharani then washed her hands and feet, left the spacious kitchen, and entered the courtyard. There she gazed at her lover Krishna through the window, perspiring out of ecstatic bliss, and was fanned by the maidservants. When Vraja's queen Yashoda saw her, she expressed her concern that Radharani was certainly very tired from the morning cooking activities. With great effort, Mother Yashoda convinced Radharani for herself to take breakfast. As soon as Radharani happily sat down, both Mother Yashoda and Rohini ordered that the breakfast be brought from the house. Mother Yashoda then ordered Dhanishta Gopi to bring the breakfast, which was cooked in ghee. Gopi Dhanishta secretly mixed the food with remnants from Lord Hari's plate, brought it from the house, and placed it before them. Out of shyness, Radharani bowed her head, covered it with her sari, and declined to eat. Seeing this, Krishna's mother, Yashoda, became filled with sentiments of maternal love. Then she spoke the following words. O my daughter, why are you shy before me, your mother? I love you in the same way I love my son Krishna. I beg you, please, do not be shy before me. Let my eyes see you eating this breakfast. That sight will bring a pleasant coolness to my burning eyes. 100 times I vow that you are my daughter. Why are you so shy? O Lalita, O Gopis, O my daughters, please eat. In this way, Mother Yashoda fed all the gopis a delicious feast, palatably sweetened with many sweet words. within her heart, Mother Yashoda wished that Radharani could become her son Krishna's bride. Yashoda had Gopi Ganishta bring from the house many ornaments, exquisite garments, red cosmetics, sandalwood paste, betel nuts, and jeweled boxes containing gifts suitable for a newly married bride. Braja's Queen Yashoda happily and affectionately presented all these gifts to Radharani, honoring her just as a newly acquired daughter-in-law surrounded by her lady friends. We'll read one more section. This one's entitled, Krishna Gets Dressed and Goes to the Forest. After this, Vishakha, Danishta, and Subal met secretly. The two gopis gave to Subal the yellow upper garment of Krishna that Radharani had mistakenly taken on the previous night. And Subal gave them Radharani's blue sari that Sri Krishna had taken at the same time. Bursting with happiness, the servants then affectionately decorated their master Krishna with exquisite clothing, ornaments, garlands, and fragrant ointments. Wearing the tilak marking named Bhakti Ched, anointed with sandalwood paste, kunkum, and colorful mineral pigments, dressed in exquisite new garments, wearing a peacock feather, crown, signet rings, earrings, gunja necklace, a jewel necklace with the Kaustubha gem in the center, a Vaijayanti flower garland, armlets, bracelets, golden anklets, ankle bells, and an ornamental chain, and wearing on his chest a necklace of large pearls in which he alone could see the reflected form of Srimati Radharani, carrying a buffalo horn, a bugle tucked into the left side of his belt, and his wonderfully colorful jewel-studded flute tucked into the right side, carrying a straight staff in his left hand and twirling a yellow toy lotus in his right hand, enchanting the minds of the doe-eyed gopis and accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends, each of them laughing and joking with him, and each of them also carrying a flute, buffalo horn, bugle and staff, lotus-eyed Krishna left his home to go into the forest. Thus ends the fourth chapter of Govinda Lilamrita in the matter of the Lord's breakfast pastimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I see we still have devotees online, so I will continue with this Govinda Lilamrita class for those of you who are still with me. So now we begin the next phase of Krishna's pastimes. We just completed the breakfast pastimes. Now we start the morning pastimes. These morning pastimes have a total of 18 sections to it. And this first one is called A Poetic Description of Vrajabhumi. Lord Krishna then went outside and sounded his buffalo horn bugle named Mandragosh. He delighted the residents of Vraja, enchanted the hearts of the beautiful Vraja gopis, and greatly intensified their love for him. Around the cow barns in Vraja, there were heaps of cow dung that appeared like great mountain peaks. There were passionate bulls fiercely fighting for the sake of a cow. There were hundreds of gopas and gopis collecting cow dung and smiling and laughing as they narrated the pastimes of Krishna. There were hundreds of gopas carefully protecting the calves. There were elderly gopis making cow dung patties. There were many palm trees. There were many residents of cows and calves near which the ground had become soft with cow dung. When Lord Krishna thus saw Vrajabhumi's great opulence and its exalted residents, he became happy with transcendental bliss. The cowborn of Vraja appeared like a series of large lakes. The cowherd men, restraining the calves, appeared to be giant fishes, and their milk pails appeared to be turtles in a great stream of milk. The faces of the gopis, intently collecting cow dung, appeared to be lotus flowers growing in the water, and the white and red calves appeared to be white swans and red geese swimming in those lakes. The white cows appeared to be streams flowing into those lakes, and their tails appeared to be Shaivala plants growing in those streams. When Lord Hari saw the cow barn in this way, he became happy with transcendental bliss. Vraja's King Nanda then left the eager Surabhi cows out of their pens. Krishna, who attracted the minds of all of Vraja's residents, then went with the cows and his gopa friends from Vraja village to the forest. Let out of their pens, the cows and female water buffaloes met. The white Surabhi cows appeared like the stream of the celestial Ganges, and the dark female buffaloes appeared like the dark stream of the Yamuna River. When the two herds met and mingled, they appeared like the sacred place Triveni, where the Ganges and Yamuna converge. The dust kicked up by their hooves appeared like drops of water which purified the intelligence, senses, and even great demigods like Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, who holds the thunderbolt weapon in his hand. The land of Vraja became very pleased to have lotus-eyed Lord Hari walking to her forest. The land of Vraja placed her lotus heart under the Lord's lotus feet to be stepped on wherever he walked. When the Lord's feet touched the ground, all the grasses on the limbs of Vrajabhumi stood up in ecstatic bliss. Even when the Surabhi cows trampled on the grass, it immediately sprang up in ecstasy. From children to elders, all the lotuses and rose-eyed residents of Vraja became like a great river swollen with the monsoon of transcendental love and swiftly rushing from the mountain of Vraja village to the great dark ocean known as Krishna. So since you're still here, I will continue with this reading. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This next excerpt is called Vraja Experiences Vipralamba. Mother Yashoda became very eager to see her son, and out of intense maternal love for him, tears flowed from her eyes and milk trickled from her breasts, moistening her sari. Krishna's nurse Kalimba Devi, Balaram's mother Rohini, Yashoda's sister-in-law, and all the other elderly gopis became also very eager to see Lord Krishna. Amorous Radharani became like a celestial Ganges river flowing towards the expansive dark nectar ocean of Lord Krishna. That ocean appeared to be very still, for the many waves of restless glances had all become stunned by the divine couple's exchange of intense love. Then Mangal Shyamala, Bhadra, Pali, Chandravali, and all the other younger gopis also began to follow Lord Krishna. When their beloved Krishna departed with his friends and cows, all the residents of Vraja became silent and motionless, like a girl whose lover has just left for a foreign country. They simply stood there, stunned and covered by the dust of upraised by the hooves of the cows. When Krishna reached the outskirts of the forest, he turned his neck and saw his parents and all the residents of Vraja following him. He stopped the cows and stood still. Lord Krishna's parents were very eager to see him, and they were crying tears out of limitless fear that some calamity might befall their son in the forest. When Lord Krishna saw their distressed condition, he became very unhappy. Although they were at first scattered in all directions by the great whirlwind of shyness, the bumblebees of the beautiful gopis' eyes were so eager to drink the honey of Lord Krishna's lotus face. Nothing could prevent them from landing within its petals. When Lord Krishna saw the two happily dancing Kanjarita birds that are otherwise known as the eyes in Srimati Radharani's lotus face, he considered that all his activities had become auspicious and that his own eyes had reached their perfection. The mothers of Vraja did not notice their own sons as they fixed their tearful eyes on the form of Lord Krishna. Intense maternal love pushed the milk from their breasts, moistening their garments as they surrounded the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. Overwhelmed with fears for her son's safety, Mother Yashoda hugged him with both arms. Mother Yashoda then said, "Oh, my son, you cannot take care of all these cows alone. Although many expert cowherd men are my subjects, who among them would be foolish enough to claim that he could take care of all these cows unaided? Aside from this, you are a delicate young boy. If you wander all day in the forest barefoot and without even a parasol, how will it be possible for your poor parents, constantly worried about your safety, to remain alive and in one piece? Seeing his parents overwhelmed with parental love and clutching his parasol and shoes in their hands, Lord Krishna spoke the following words. Our prescribed duty is to protect the cows, and to do this properly, we should not accept more luxury than the cows in our charge. The cows do not wear shoes or carry a parasol. Why should we? Oh, Mother, how can I give up my prescribed duty of protecting the cows? By faithfully performing prescribed duties, one attains a long life and good reputation. When one encounters fearful situations, he or she will be protected if one has previously performed his or her prescribed duties. Nanda and Yashoda felt boundless happiness to directly see the good qualities of their son. Mother Yashoda, however, remained anxious for his safety. She called all the cowherd boys and spoke to them the following words. My dear Subhadra, Mandali Bhadra, Vatsa and Balabhadra, I am placing this delicate, restless boy in your charge. He is now under your order. Please always teach him and protect him. And if he becomes restless and refuses to obey your order, then report it to me at once. My dear Vijay, my dear cowherd boys, please arm yourselves with swords, bows and arrows. Surround my son and always protect him. Affectionate Mother Yashoda then touched her son's body, and in order to protect him, she chanted various Nrisinga Bija mantras, invoking the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In order to protect him, she also tied a jewel armlet around his wrist. Lord Krishna then said, I accept your order, and fell at the feet of his parents. They lifted him up and embraced him with both arms, sprinkling him with the tears from their eyes and milk from Mother Yashoda's breast. They kissed his lotus face and stroked it with their hands. They smelled his head. Choked with tears, they could not speak. Nanda and Yashoda blessed their son and said, May glorious Lord Nrisinga protect you on the land, in the sky, on the pathway, and in the forest. May Lord Nrisinga bring all auspiciousness to you. After receiving this blessing, Lord Krishna's affectionate parents gave him permission to proceed into the forest, and Lord Krishna felt very happy in transcendental bliss. Krishna and Balaram were then embraced by their parents, Nanda, Yashoda, and Rohini. Their nurse, Kalimba Devi, the elderly gopis, full of maternal affection, and all the cowherd men and gopis. Jubilant Lord Krishna sprinkled the thirsty chataka birds of the gopis' eyes with the nectarian shower of his sidelong glances. By the movement of his eyes, he hinted to them what route he would take after entering the forest. When Lord Krishna saw the poor, hungry does of the gopis' minds, he invited them to gaze on the fresh sprouts of his personal handsomeness. Then, when they were within his territory, he strongly bound them with the chains of his passionate glances. And with his eyes, Lord Krishna spoke the following message to console the distressed Srimati Radharani. My dear beautiful girl with beautiful face, please do not be unhappy. We shall not be separated for long. After an hour or maybe an hour and a half, we shall meet again at the outskirts of this forest. Please be kind to me and meet me at Radhakund. With a humble glance, Lord Krishna presented his request. When Radharani, pretending to be shy and arrogantly contrary, responded with a sidelong glance of assent, Lord Krishna became delighted. Radha and Krishna then shot arrows of sidelong glances at each other. These arrows quickly traversed the air, piercing each other's hearts and making them overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. It is extremely difficult for anyone to understand these wonderful loving exchanges of the divine couple. Lord Krishna caught the fish of Srimati Radharani's mind in the net of his transcendental handsomeness, and Srimati Radharani trapped the eager swan of Lord Krishna's mind in the cage of her amorous glances. And my last reading for today is from the Nectar of Devotion. This section from Nectar of Devotion is from Chapter 26, Stimulation for Ecstatic Love. The first section, Krishna's Flute. As far as Krishna's flute is concerned, it is said that the vibration of this wonderful instrument was able to break the meditation of the greatest of sages. Krishna was thus challenging Cupid by advertising his transcendental glories all over the world. There are three kinds of flutes used by Krishna. One flute is called Venu. One is called Murali. And the third is called Vanshi. Venu is very small, not more than 6 inches long, with 6 holes for whistling. Murali is about 18 inches long, with a hole at the end and 4 holes on the body of the flute. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vanshi flute is about 15 inches long, with 9 holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these three flutes occasionally when they are needed. Krishna also has a longer vanshi, which is called Mahananda or Sammohini. When it is still longer, it is called Akarshani. And when it is even longer, it is called Anandini. The Anandini flute is very pleasing to the cowherd boys and is technically named Vangshuli. These flutes were sometimes bedecked with jewels. Sometimes they are made of marble and sometimes of hollow bamboo. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called Sammohini. And when made of gold, it is called Akarshani. So that ends today's webcast. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. I will see you again. May Krishna bless you and protect you.